Affiliates, head on with Bob Kincaid in 1 minute. Mark. Affiliates, head on with Bob Kincaid in 30 seconds. Mark.
Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. I'm Bob. And I'm awfully glad you could join us for this Thursday night edition of Head On. I hope you'll enjoy yourself. I hope you'll stick around for the full 3 hours. And hello, Friday. That's for folks listening at radiopower.org to this show tomorrow. It's one of those international dateline things, I think. Hi, guys. Happy Christmas Eve Eve. And for this evening, happy Christmas Eve Eve Eve. Right? Okay. I tell you what. It only makes sense. Let's pick up tonight where we left off last night. Because as the evening drew to a close, our good friend Ben Birch from WhiteRoseSociety.org buzzed in to let us know that the president pro tem of the Senate, that dear, dear man, Ted Stevens, had gone completely wacky, crazy, lost it, melted down, and may have announced his resignation from the Senate. It was hard to tell. So let's start there. Let's start with our buddy Ted Stevens. Just to give you a little bit of background, of course, this had everything in the world to do with the fact that he wasn't getting his sweetheart deal for Alaska, the Anwar drilling that he has been pursuing since Christ was a corporal in the army of God. He wasn't going to get it because of the Cantwell Amendment. And, oh, God, oh, such a, you know, this doesn't happen every day. It's not just every day that you get to watch a United States senator come completely madder than an old wet hen unglued on the floor of the Senate. And when it's a Republican, it's especially entertaining.
This senator has tried to do what's right. In the last month or 2 months, I've been pilloried by almost every newspaper in this country because what's been said on this floor and what's been said by the members of the other side of this body. I've been called a liar. I've been told that I violated the rules.
Yeah.
I've been told I did things in the middle of the night when no one knew it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told almost everything. Even my grandchildren asked my son, you know, is that right? I asked the Senate, is that right?
Well, you know, Ted, buddy, when you're so covered up in sleaze that you're willing to do the taxpayers out of $50 million, all so you can have a bridge to nowhere in Alaska that nobody is going to use, yeah, that's right. That's okay. You know, it's okay to call a liar when he's a liar. It's okay to call bug spray when the air is full of it. And it's okay to point out the fact that you were holding up, you were holding up necessary supplies for our fighting men and women in Iraq. The boots on the ground. Holding it hostage so that you could get a drilling deal for your oil buddies in Alaska. Yeah, I'd say that's okay. This was... I've got all these sound clips. I've just sort of collectively referred to them as the meltdown. He did everything except get a bucket of water thrown on him and have his toes curl up there as he just melted into the little evil puddle of grief. Oh, my beautiful evil! It was amazing to behold. And he went on, and he said that he wanted to drill in the Anwar. Now, this is the good part. There was this long, impassioned discussion about the Katrina victims. And we finally understood that he wanted to drill in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. It wasn't for him. Oh, no. No, it wasn't for Ted Stevens. It wasn't for his oil buddies. No, it was for the Katrina victims. It was all about them. And you know, when you come to think of it, the old coot must be a prophet. Clairvoyant or something. I mean, after all, this isn't the first time he's tried to shove this filthy little scheme down America's throat. So, I guess he was thinking about the Katrina victims years ago when he was trying to get this done. But, well, we definitely know he was this time.
Mr. President, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to think about this. And I'm going to try to figure out what to do next year. But I knew one thing. The 3 months I spent on this to try and help the people of the disaster area, sincere belief in it. How many of you have been to the disaster area? Did you spend a couple of days down there like I did?
Okay. sure thing there, Ted. I'm going to go home. Yeah, I expect that. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. Oh, he was just an amazingly angry little man. And then this thing was irony from head to toe. Talking about the poor Katrina victims. And they are, my God, they should be. We should have canceled Christmas this year, and every penny we spent on Christmas we should have sent to the Katrina victims. With a very patient explanation to our little children that Santa would be spending all his time on the Gulf Coast with the little kids who'd had everything taken from them. We should have done that. And he stands there, and he talks about the ecological devastation. Have you seen the barge as big as this room that was sitting on top of a school building? And I don't doubt that that happened. I don't doubt that that existed. But in the middle of this mad little diatribe, he lost his mind a little bit more, and the next thing you knew, he was reliving the Anchorage quake.
Did you see how it devastated the land? And all the plant life is now dying because it was inundated with salt water. The earthquake in my state did that. I saw one town disappear. I saw a third of my city, Anchorage, disappear.
I saw the best minds of my generation, angel-headed hipsters, looking for an angry fix on the midnight street. Thank you, Senator Allen Ginsberg. You know, salt water. The salt water is killing all the plant life. What's a byproduct of oil drilling? Salt water? Sure. What's another byproduct of oil drilling? Killing everything that's alive in the area. The oil patch is not a very nice place, so there was a certain amount of irony in his bemoaning of the ecological disaster that is the Gulf Coast, and it is. While at the same time being absolutely sublimely pissed off about the fact that he wasn't going to get to do the same blessed thing to the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. And that's not all. I got a couple more. So we will take a break. And when we come back, the final installments of the great Ted Stevens meltdown of 2005. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Silver bells, silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling, hear them ring, soon it will be Christmas Day.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards, but will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
Gentlemen, let nothing you dismay, for Jesus Christ our Savior was born upon this day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father.
Welcome back. So we're contemplating. And unless you have seen the video footage of it, I was fortunate enough when we went off the air last night, C-SPAN was rerunning it. C-SPAN was rerunning the Ted Stevens speech. It was like driving by a car wreck. You can't help. You slow down. You look. My lovely wife was standing behind me looking over my shoulder. Oh, honey, what's the matter with that man? Well, honey, he's a Republican, and he just watched a whole bunch of money go bye-bye. But the hissy that this man threw, there was an element of it that reminded me of, it was the part where Abe Vigoda was going off to be done away with in The Godfather. You know, can't you intercede with Michael for me one last time? You could hear the terror in Ted Stevens' voice. He knew he was going to have to answer to his masters for this. And believe you me, Ted Stevens has masters. He may be a United States senator, but when it comes right down to it, when the oil industry says, Froggy, he says, how high you want me to jump, boss? And he tried, oh Lord God, he tried just one last time to convince the Senate of the purity of his motives.
Many of you said I did this for political reasons. Just crash thing, pick up some money and give it away for votes.
Yeah.
I never asked one of you for a vote. I talked to some of you about how you should vote, but I never went to you and said, you got to vote for me.
Well, see, no, Ted, you were going to spread the money around in Alaska, and you were going to spread the money around in, the oil industry. Then they were going to get you elected again. And again, and again, and again. And it was crass what you were doing. It was about the most disgusting crass thing I've ever. You know, when I think about young men and women in the filthy, stinking, the disease-infested sands of Iraq, who needed this bill just to stay even. And he held it all up by demanding that we despoil the last great, wild, untouched place in America. That's crass. Is it? Can you call it anything but crass? Corrupt? Hateful? Spiteful? Mean? Dirty? Rotten? Awful? But in the end, well, you know how it is. Old oil whores never die. They just fade away.
This has been the saddest day of my life. It's a day I don't want to remember, and I'm sorry to see it come to an end. Because I am drawing a line now with a lot of people I've worked with before. I really am. Because I can't put in my mind that none of the time, the days I've spent with you, are working on your problems, and I know you've said about me the things you said in the last 2 months. I say goodbye to the Senate tonight. Thank you very much.
Goodbye. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. Goodbye. Wave bye-bye, kids. Wave bye-bye to the crazy old senator. Bye-bye, crazy old senator. Oh. It's coffee out of nose time again. But, you know, you hear that pathetic, passionate, old, hateful, vicious, vile man. And how sad, tragedy-stricken he was. I mean, he made it sound like the oil executives were going to take him for a ride he wasn't coming back from. You know, the horse's head in the bed material. But, you know, in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, there are a number of beings who cannot speak for themselves. Polar bears can't talk. Caribou can't talk. Reindeer can't talk. And someone had to speak for them. Now, listen. I know they're on my side of the fight most of the time, but I'm no fan of PETA. I don't like their tactics. I understand some of their motivations. I don't like a lot of their tactics, and, you know, there's nothing more fun than telling a PETA member that those letters stand for people eating tasty animals. Sorry. But I do believe that wild creatures are just as much entitled, have just as much a right to life, how about that, as we do. I am not one of these weirdo fundamentalist dominionists that believe, you know how it is. You know, we were put here to manage, to, you know, kill everything in sight and do with it as we please and poison the planet, and who cares, because Jesus is going to come down in his golden Eldorado and build a new Jerusalem. And it ain't going to matter what we've done, because we're going to have a miraculous healing, yea, brethren and sistren, we're going to have a miraculous healing of the global warming, which doesn't really exist after all anyway. Okay, so, you know, I'm not in that game. I don't have a dog in that hunt. So, you know, forgive me, you know, PETA fans or whatever, but no, I do have a great deal of sympathy for those who could not speak for themselves. My God, there was a scientific report out a couple of days ago. Polar bears are showing up dead and drowned on shorelines because the ice floes are melting that fast. It is winter in the northern hemisphere, and they're still finding dead polar bears because their hunting grounds have melted away and their food supplies are gone. And there's an argument that sooner or later, the only place you'll be able to see a polar bear is in a zoo in an air-conditioned room. So, you know, drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge made no daggum sense. You know, they wouldn't yield enough oil to run this country for 6 weeks, let alone 6 years or 60. And most of it would have been shipped overseas anyway. Wouldn't have meant a penny's less price on a gallon of fuel. But there was a handful of Republicans that were willing to destroy the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge just to make a buck. And someone had to defeat it. And I'm proud of every one of the Democrats who moved to defeat it, and the Republicans who joined in as well. I'm very proud. And the reindeer thank you, and the caribou thank you, and the polar bears thank you, and even those mosquitoes up there that are the size of eagles, they thank you. The eagles thank you. It was a good thing you done, no matter how hard Ted Stevens cries. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The boar's head and hand bear I bedecked with bays and rosemary, and I pray you, my masters, be merry, for best is in convivio. Cavil up, we never go.
Found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back, thanking me for my concerns, and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. 1 minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
That was fun. About, 28 minutes and change before the hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. How to get a hold of the show, you know that. It's easy. Area 877, the number 4, Head On. 877-443-2366, or in traditional dialing mode, 304-658-3333. Email's easy, too. Bob@headonradio.com. A couple of emails. Our buddy Peter, whom I assume is listening in the Tom Hartman chat room with all the other residents thereof. Hi, gang. Just sent this quote from our pal Flush Flemball, the $25 million junkie, talking about the wildlife in Anwar.
The wildlife that lives there wishes it didn't, but it's too stupid to figure out how to move anywhere.
You know, that's the same level of meanness that was once used on the Ethiopians during the famine. You know, these people don't need food, they need suitcases. They need U-Hauls. Go where the food is. The wildlife that lives there wishes it didn't, but it's too stupid to figure out how to move anywhere. How hopelessly dumb is that goofy junkie? Does he know how many hundreds of miles the caribou herds range across the Alaska and the northern parts of Canada? Nah, probably not. But you know, that's what you're dealing with when you're dealing with these crazy earth raping Republicans. Let's go to the phones. Wayne's with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing good.
Listen, there you go again. I mean, you know, like, we'll always have them there polar bears. All you got to do is turn on, watch one of them Coke commercials.
That's right. You know, hey,
we don't need them anymore.
Yeah, we can animate them better than God can make them.
Well, exactly. I mean, geez, you worry about the dumbest thing.
I know.
He didn't really say that, did he?
Yeah.
Limbaugh?
Yeah.
Thank God. Well, listen, here's my feelings about Senator Stevens.
Yeah. Did you see it?
Yeah, I watched it. And, I mean, the crying, yeah. I'm sorry, it's hard to believe.
I wanted somebody to come and put one of those little jackets on him and take him away. He was.
Well, I mean, here's my feelings about Ted and a lot of these other Republicans, and I would hope the Democrats take the same attitude, and that is, hey, see you later, Ted. Next.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, give me a break. And it's. I'm very upset. You know, Agnes should be ready with the button. slavery ain't dead, brother.
No, it isn't.
The masters won in New York.
Yeah, they did.
They won. And that is so totally disgusting. Some son of a gun, billionaire mayor, and beat down these poor people. That's slavery.
Yes, it is.
You cannot hold back your own labor. If you do it, we'll find you zillions of dollars that you don't have, and if that doesn't work, we'll put you in jail. What? How do you describe that?
I describe that as get back on the plantation, boy.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, this is just totally disgusting. So if someone is willing to go to work and clean toilets and sweep this and drive trains and do stuff like that, and be there every day and give their best, it is not too much for them to ask to make a living wage, to have health insurance for them and their family, and to be able to retire with dignity. And who is denying them this right? Billionaires.
Yeah.
Billionaires. I mean.
Well, and but see, it's that whole no strike clause garbage,
well,
Wayne.
And that's the super laws that these idiots make. Guys like Stevens and a whole bunch of Democrats, I'm sure, agree with it, too.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, this is slavery.
Well, you know, here's my vision of how it should have gone down in New York City. Pardon me. The TWU walked out. Then the FDNY walks off. Then the NYPD walks off. Then whoever the sanitation union is walks off. And everything stops in its tracks until the city of New York understands that working people are more important than billionaires.
That's exactly right, and that should have happened the second day.
Because you know what? Bloomberg can't fire an entire police force, and he can't fire an entire firefighter force.
I watched some idiot walking across the bridge being interviewed saying, I wish Ronald Reagan was back. He'd fire every one of them. Well, yeah, that'd be good. You know, how long would that take to replace him, you idiot? It's totally disgusting. People, you know, and, well, remember that story I told you last night about the $2 billion for who?
Goldman Sachs?
Yes, the bank and you know, all that jazz. And I told you, looked at a picture. Well, I went back on it. Hillary was at the mic, and Mr. Schumer was right beside her.
And both of them grinning like...
And both of them grinning. Right, and were they with the strikers?
No, well,
did they
even
mention the strikers?
No. I mean, you know, you wouldn't want a couple of Democrat senators, you know, hanging out with those people now, would you?
Yeah. Well, those people are going to revolt, and you know, And I'm talking at the polls now. I know we're being listened.
Yeah. Agent Mike, we're only talking about.
I don't even own a gun, okay? So, yeah. You know, if you want to get me, you've got to bring one.
Oh, God, you're awful.
Well, you know. Anyway, I didn't swear, and I'm real proud of myself.
You know, you're batting people, a million.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, let's start to think about it. And, you know, like, oh, it's for. I mean, you know, him at Ted Stevens, or did he take. Lessons from Blank, it must be vice versa, because, you know, he's way older than Blankenship. I mean, you know, it's for the Katrina, you know, and Don, it was just for the kids.
Yeah, for the sake of the kids.
Right. Exactly. These guys, like, these guys care. You know, you care so much, Steve, why don't you, or what's his name, Ted?
Yeah, Ted.
You know, how about, let's stop giving tax cuts to the rich so that we could help the people out down there. How about let's stop wasting billions of dollars in a preemptive war that was found, you know, with lies and...
Yeah, well, how about let's stop saying that God's going to call you home if you don't get $50 million for your bridge to nowhere?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what kind of... Yeah. Anyway.
I know. No, but yeah, slavery is alive and well. You know, we talk about the Fourth Amendment, what's happened to that. The same thing has happened to the abolition amendment to the Constitution, because you're absolutely right. When someone can tell a worker that he will damned well get back to work or there will be hell to pay, I mean, what's the difference between a monstrous fine of everything you make every day versus being told that you're going to be hauled onto the block and given 50 lashes?
It's the same. Listen, the only thing a working person has is his time.
Yeah.
That's all he has. That's what he owns. And these people are telling him that if they don't come and give their time, they will be fined, and if that doesn't work, we'll put you in jail. That is slavery. Now, I don't give a damn what anybody wants to call it.
Well, those individuals are not free. They were not free to make, and they were told point blank, you are not free to make your own choices about your own labor.
That's exactly what they told them. I mean, you know, it's a little bit different than the 50 lashes, the fines, and the, you know, that.
I know people out there that would rather take the 50 lashes than the crushing economic blows. You know, threatening to put a working man in jail for standing on his own hind legs in the last couple of days before Christmas.
This is absolutely disgusting.
And every working person in New York who complained about that strike.
But that's where, you know, that's where they succeeded so much. In, you know, they have turned worker against worker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the guy walking across the bridge wishing Reagan was back, you know, where's he going to go? Fix trucks somewhere?
Probably.
You know, he isn't going to work at Goldman Sachs. None of them guys walked across the bridge.
No.
They got in their helicopter or, you know, whatever, you know. Those are the guys that got the $500,000 Christmas bonus.
Yeah.
Anyway, buddy.
Well, is there any, you know. I'm getting a little closer, Wayne, to going to sort of a little time travel gig, and I'm beginning to agree with the principles. You remember the old IWW?
I do, yeah.
The Wobblies?
Yes.
They believed in one big union.
I don't think that's a bad idea.
If the bakers go out, then the iron workers go out.
Listen, you know where I am and where I come from. I mean, you know, we have a lot of trouble in our, you know, hell, half our internationals back this Anwar thing.
Yeah.
You know, so that, you know, supposedly they could get works for their members, you know. And wouldn't it be a different thing if there were guarantees that we're going to go up there and we're going to do it as environmentally possible as we can, you know, and all that jazz. But and all of this is going into our oil reserve.
Yeah.
Or something, you know, where maybe you can make it attractive. You know, all they want to do is go up there, rape the land. You know, yeah, they'll pay a few thousand construction workers real good wages for a while because they know when them guys are done, they're going to make billions. Trillions or whatever, you know, selling it
Yeah, for a very short time.
Yes, exactly.
You know, it's boom and bust mentality. It's mercantilistic mentality. It's ghost town mentality. Because you know what?
What it is.
Where will those unions that were behind the Anwar drilling, where will they be when the gig goes south? Where will they be when the job is over? Out of work.
That's exactly where they'll be.
You know, it's the same thing that happens here in West Virginia with Massey workers. Massey isn't going to be here forever. When the job is gone, Massey will be gone, and you and your family that you completely sold out everything to work for them.
And that's exactly right, and that is what is so important about this whole thing. You know, is what they did to these union people. These are union people, and the only thing you have is to try to secure your future.
Right.
And that's what these people are trying to do, because that's going to happen. They know, I mean, you know, even construction workers, that's what you do is work yourself out of a job.
Yeah.
You do that constantly, you know. But hopefully when you get a certain age, you'll be able to take care of. These people don't want it. They don't want you to have anything like that.
No.
They want it all for the...
Yeah, well, and how much... Again, let's reiterate. This wasn't about the transit workers wanting a whole bunch more money.
No, it wasn't.
This was about the transit workers wanting to stay even.
You know, where do all these people that enjoy everything we have today, you know, where do you think all the eight-hour day came from and the weekend? You know, I have a sticker on my hard hat says, you know, welcome to the weekend, brought to you by organized labor. That's where it came from. Where did the eight-hour day come from and time and a half?
It didn't come from the pulpit, Wayne, and it didn't come from government, and it didn't come from the bosses.
And you got all these idiots out here that are willing to give it all up because they, you know.
Well, because they have, listen, that's part of what we're doing here. You know that, and I know that. There has been a 25, 30-year onslaught of nothing across the airwaves but how evil, evil working people are when they stand up for themselves.
Right. It's these cheap labor, and I'm going to call them conservatives, not Republicans, because there's a lot of damn Democrats that are right in there with them.
Yes, absolutely.
And you know, I'm disgusted with them, too. And, you know, I may get an opportunity to tell a couple of them here after the first of the year. I mean, it's, you know, it's time to wake up and start backing the people. You have to back the people. You know, I'm not happy with Rockefeller. I mean, somewhere along the line, there, you know, when you swear an oath, that's to honorable people.
Yeah.
Okay, if you dishonor that oath, my oath is no longer binding.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I absolutely do.
Okay, you know, now, maybe, you know, Senator Rockefeller has to swear an oath, you know, to all this secret stuff and all that, but when one of your secrets is, we're breaking the law, don't tell anybody, my obligation is up.
Well, look.
The oath that I took is now null and void as far as you're concerned. I do not find you worthy of having
Well, it's
oath.
The double standard all over again, Wayne, because you know what? If it was a couple of working stiffs and one guy's just sitting in the car and his buddy goes in and knocks over a 7-Eleven or something and comes out, if the guy sitting in the car doesn't immediately go and rat out
both go to jail.
You are both gone, and you are both equally culpable for the crime the one guy committed, except that doesn't apparently apply to congressmen who sit there and countenance secret spying on American citizens.
Apparently it does not, and the American people better wake up. And I don't give a. I don't care if it's a Republican that's cheating you or a Democrat that's cheating you. Throw his ass out, and let's get some stuff straightened out.
Yeah, and well,
I mean, you know,
I wish somebody could communicate this to. You know, we're talking about our West Virginia leadership, but it applies across the country, and we both know it.
Start at home.
Sure, you do. And you know, somebody needs. And I love him. He's been beautiful in the Senate. I love Senator Byrd, but somebody needs to tell him that voting for things like that bankruptcy bill And somebody needs to tell Nick Joe Rahal that voting for that estate tax repeal nonsense is not a good thing to do for working people.
Well, I believe I'm going to see him after the first year, and I'm going to tell him exactly that. I mean, it's time to wake up. And if you ain't willing to wake up, well, then step aside.
Exactly.
You know, and don't be mad at me.
Lead, follow, or get out of the way.
Right. And don't be mad at me because I'm not going to back you anymore. You know, sorry.
Yeah.
If you don't understand that, to hell with it.
Well, if you can't do for, and again, it goes back to what I said last night, Wayne. Hillary and Schumer stood there at that Goldman Sachs groundbreaking, grinning like foxes eating you know what out of a wire brush.
Right.
But you know they couldn't be bothered to stand up for the working people of the TWU. But they will be on the TWU's doorstep.
Exactly. And let me ask you,
when it's campaign time.
Yes. And what do Rahal and Rockefeller have to lose here? I mean, you know, if both of them lost their seat tomorrow, they would not have to eat bologna sandwiches.
No.
You know, believe me. I mean, you know, time to stand up. And, I go on and on and on. I'm fighting with the Chamber of Commerce over prevailing wage. You know, I'm trying to tell them, you know, like, listen, I don't understand why you people are against this, you know, and I try to give them reports about and studies that show that, you know, you could, if you eliminate prevailing wage, you don't save any money. The only thing is the working people don't get anything and the guy running the company gets it all. That's the difference.
And those are the people they represent.
And those are the people they represent. Well, I think I have it won. You know, I kind of think I have it won. Well, then we have another meeting, and I mean, you know, my recommendation is going, boy. It's, you know, we are not going to mention prevailing wage in the new legislative agenda,
mm-hmm.
you know, of what they'd like to accomplish. Out of the blue, here shows up some insurance executive who just recently retired, and the reason he wasn't at the other meetings is because he's building a mansion in Georgia to move to in a couple of months. And this guy gets in there and says, I think that's baloney. Organized labor has controlled this state. Now, this is coming from an insurance executive.
Yeah.
Okay. Organized labor has controlled this state for too long. And so then everybody gets all. So then somebody makes a motion. They send it to the executive board. Well, you know what happened to my motion.
Yeah, well, yeah. And it goes kind of clockwise, you know, as it goes down.
Yeah. Then a week later, here the state Chamber of Commerce puts out this position paper on prevailing wage and cites studies that, well, somewhere they say somewhere between 26% and 38% on school construction. I got news for you. Labor on a construction job is anywhere between 20% and 30% depending on the job. Some jobs are more labor, you know, intense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you save 38%, the people that work there have to pay you to work there.
Yeah, it's not even working for free anymore.
Right. So I'm going, well, who wrote this report? Well, it comes from the American Legislative Exchange Council, part of the Cato Institute.
Oh, well, the Cato Institute, yes.
And then the guy that wrote this is probably going to get suspended from Cato because they found out he was taking money from Abramoff to write stories favorable to his clients.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is what the state chamber is going to
rely on to say that working people don't deserve a fair wage.
Right. So I talked to the state chamber about this, and they say, well, I talked to Raleigh County, rather, and they tell me, oh, that's the state's position. Our position would never be against prevailing wage. What we're against is what we want to know is how they get it, and, you know, is that process right, how they determine the wage, and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, if you could explain that to me. And, like, I'm thinking, here's my thing. I'm tired of explaining it to you.
Yeah.
Here's what you people, your ultimate goal is to eliminate prevailing wage. Now, you want me to keep playing games about how the process goes and this and that and da 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 da. You know, that don't matter. Your position is the same as these people. You want to kill it. You don't want working people to make a living wage, to have health insurance, and to be able to retire with dignity. That's what you're coming after. And I'm not going to explain to you anymore. I'm just going to fight you. That's all there is.
Well, yeah. Sometimes the lunch bucket hits the ground and the fists get balled up, and you know, if this is what you want to do, this is what you've chosen.
Well, they chose that.
That's what I mean.
I'm a reasonable man, but you people don't want to be reasonable. You want to keep playing games. Oh, well, that ain't our position. You know, your ultimate goal is the same. You know, you could tell me whatever your position is. Here's your ultimate goal, and Well, listen.
At least you're fighting.
Go over, yeah.
No. At least you're fighting, Wayne.
Well,
a few more spinal injections, and maybe we could square up this state and square up this nation. But you know what? As long as and this goes back to what I said a little bit ago, as long as we let the other side control the debate, it's not going to happen.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to switch the debate.
And you don't change the debate by trying to debate Flush Flimball or Hannity or these, you know, those screw jobs. You do it by doing what we're doing here, and that is adding more to the discussion and talking about the realities of it, and not the not the blue smoke and mirrors horse crap of we need to drill in Anwar because there's salt water killing the plants in the Gulf Coast.
Yeah, what quake was he talking about? The 64 quake?
Yeah,
my God, I had a buddy that went through that in the Air Force. He was stationed there. He said that it was quite the ride. Looking out.
No, it was devastating, and it's heartrending. And you know, if he went through it, you know, I can imagine the hell and misery that was involved with it.
Yeah,
and it was.
But I mean, how does drilling in Anwar help that? Can you explain that?
I'm dadgummed if I know.
Okay.
You know, and how does drilling in Anwar?
Because he wants the rest. He wants the rest of Alaska to have the ugly scars that Anchorage has. Is that the reasoning?
I suppose so.
I mean, is that where the salt water killed the is that in Anchorage?
I know.
Oh, God.
Wayne, thanks so much, man.
Hey, buddy.
Later.
Thanks for putting up with me.
Oh, my pleasure. Always. Take care.
Bye.
And your phone calls are welcome after we come back from our top of the hour break. The phone number, of course, 877-443-2366. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write...
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating. Just very devastating. And the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could could make new friends from different countries.
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
That makes me confident.
Sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Yeah, so jump right in. The chatter's fine. Phone number 877, the number 4, head on. 877-443-2366. Email to Bob at headonradio.com. Whatever you've got on your mind is fine by me. I've got a stack of stuff here, as usual. We'll get to it in good time. For the nonce now, let's go back to the phones. That's my favorite part of the show. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hello, how are you doing?
Doing very well, thanks.
Very good. I listened with great interest to your last caller, and I could not agree with him more. And it would appear to me as though basically what these people would like to destroy, and abrogate first and to destroy, is the Fair Labor Standards Act.
That's on the Republican wish list.
And, you know, I can't disagree with one thing that Wayne said, and having talked to him personally on the telephone many times, I know what he's been through recently, and I know that he's had some hard times, but yet he certainly has the courage to get up there and fight for something he believes in. And for that, I have a great deal of respect for this man.
Well, you know, all you can do is fight.
That's the highest compliment I could pay anyone.
Certainly.
And I just want to say this, and it's about, you mentioned the taking of an oath, and I would like to address that, okay?
Do please.
And I'm looking in the play For a Man for All Seasons. Of course, you know my mm-hmm. hero, Sir Thomas, St. Thomas More.
Sure.
And, of course, he's being questioned about why doesn't he just take the oath and come out of jail, come out of the tower, and keep his head. And his daughter is saying, why don't you take the oath and think otherwise? And his reply to him is this: what is an oath than words we say to God? When a man takes an oath, he's holding himself in his open hands like water. And if he opens his fingers, then he needn't hope to find himself again. Some men aren't capable of this, but I'd be loath to think your father one of them.
Well, it's always meant a lot to me, and I guess there are those for whom it's just pro forma, Jim. It's, you know, it's just something you do.
Well, it was enough that it meant enough to this man that he lost his head. He lost his position. He lost his life. And he lost everything in this world, of course, which was temporary anyway. But nonetheless, and now he's a saint, and he's been beatified because of his very attitude. And, you know, these people, the taking of an oath means very little to them, I'm afraid.
Well, it doesn't mean much. It apparently means absolutely nothing to George Bush. And the Mayor Bloomberg in New York apparently forgot his oath, because you know what, whether he likes to think about it or not, a lot of those TWU workers were every bit as much citizens that he represented as anyone else. They were as much citizens as the billionaires. But you know, that's what you get out of some of this, Jim, is a constructive class stratified system of citizenship. It was obvious that those transit workers were not nearly as vital or valid as citizens as the billionaires were.
Oh, no, that's the way it is. And, of course, you know, they're going to get priority. And they had a shot of Bloomberg walking to work. Well, I'm sure his limo had just dropped him off, and he walked about 10 paces just for a photo op.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Gracie Mansion is, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm sure, like Wayne said, these guys got in their helicopters and went to the heliport at the top of the building and went home with no problem whatsoever with their $500,000 bonuses for Christmas or whatever. I don't know.
And, of course, you've got people like that freak Bill O'Reilly, who made a statement, I guess, on his radio show either today or yesterday, talking about cabbies who were gouging people as a result of the strike. And on the air, can you imagine what would happen to me if I made a statement like this? But on the air, he advocated shooting cabbies in the head.
Well, the man's a pig. You know it, and I know it. He's just an absolute couchon pig. That's
yeah.
all he is. Oink, oink, Bill O'Reilly. I have some figures for you on the Patriot Act. You'd be interested to hear them.
Yeah, go ahead.
CNN did a thing on whether or not the Patriot Act should be renewed, and this was the result. 20% said yes for 6 months. 6% said yes for 4 years. 7% said indefinitely. And 67% said absolutely not.
Well, it doesn't surprise me at all, because after learning about the illegal spying that the White House has done, what do they need with the Patriot Act? They're just going to—they're acting outside the law now as it is, Jim.
Well, you know, this whole thing, I mean, we're talking about with Wayne. I mean, you know, even Hitler, when he—now, Hitler destroyed the trade unions. He made a deal with the industrialists in order to come to power. And those industrialists wanted the trade unions destroyed. But even the Nazis had as one of their, you know, 25 points of their program. It was called the National Socialist German Workers' Party, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And even they provided paid vacations and all kinds of stuff and benefits for workers. And they kept the workers' dinner pay a full, and at least they were able to give the working man a taste of what he wanted. Whereas before, you know, I'm afraid during the Depression, they had no jobs whatsoever. And, you know, even under Stalin, and he destroyed the trade unions too, they at least gave the workers some type of security and some type of, you know, parachute, you know, as bad as they were. And I'm not advocating either Nazism or Stalinism. Don't you understand that?
No, I do.
But these people, they ain't offering the workers a damn thing.
No, and they...
That's a kick in the ass.
Well, they're looking... Ultimately, these so-called... you know, democracy-loving billionaires, their ultimate goal, you know, they are terrified. American business right now, because of the way they've been able to run roughshod and rampant over the last couple of decades, they are scared to death of a working man's pension, Jim. And it is their goal, and it is their dream, to take those pensions away and recapitalize the companies on worker pensions. We've seen it time and again. Workers were listed as liabilities at Horizon Energy. Can you imagine listing a human being as a liability?
Well, you know, as Wayne said, a man's work is literally his property.
Yeah, and that goes back to Abraham Lincoln.
And even Marx said that it was that so. Even he defined work as that is the highest thing a person can produce. And a person should at least be honored and, you know, compensated decently. Even somebody as even the godless atheist Karl Marx acknowledged that. And these so-called right-wing Christians who say who aren't Christians, they don't even believe in something that these totalitarian atheists did. That's a hell of a note, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it should serve as a wake-up call to American labor. But again, the labor laws themselves, Jim, are not written for labor. They're written for management. They're written for the bosses. And labor does not play on anything approaching a level playing field with the owners and the money.
No, they don't. And I'll tell you what they want to do. They want to go back to the age of the robber barons, the so-called age of innocence, when you had the very, very rich at one end of the spectrum, and then and nothing really in between except a few people in the middle class, and the rest just dirt poor. And it is a reinstitution of slavery.
That's exactly what it is.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they may as well go ahead and revoke the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments.
You know, you'd be surprised, but there are so-called strict constructionist conservative legal scholars out there that say that
they're unconstitutional.
Yeah, that they should be repealed. Can you imagine that? They sit around talking. You know, they're polite people. They sit around talking at dinner over the fact that the outlawing of slavery should be done away with. And people speak to them in polite society.
Oh, I'm from South Carolina. I know these people. I see them.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons that I haven't gone back there. It's because I cannot handle that kind of mentality. I just can't. You know, I would prefer the remote fastness of this area and the ice and snow to the balmer climate of that backward state. And a lot of my friends believe exactly what you said. And I just, you know, we don't talk anymore.
How can you? I mean,
I
don't.
These are people whom I really, really want to treasure. It's friends and treasure their relationships with them. And then I realized that I had nothing more to say to them.
Because if you stayed around them long enough, you'd become as hateful and awful as they themselves were.
No, I couldn't do that because it's just not worth the stress and the storming drunk, the stress.
Yeah, but you know why even run the risk of lying down with dogs and getting up with the subsequent fleas? You know.
I mean, you know, I just can't deal with some mentality like that anymore. I mean, you know, I've been around the world and I've seen places and done things. I've been things. I've seen places, and I know that what these people believe in isn't right. And I know that what they're the current administration and what the big industrial magnates are trying to do, and they're basically trying to destroy the very basis upon which this country was founded, and that is the working man.
You're absolutely right.
And people like that, because he's the one who produced, he's the one who hews the wood and draws the water. He's the farmer, for example, is the one who enables us to eat, and the working man enables us to have what we have. And I'll tell you, we talk about...
It's not a complicated calculus, is it?
Well, it is, and I don't want to go on here too long, but I just want to say this. We're worried about a Chinese general making nuclear threats. Hell, I'm not worried about him. I'm worried about these idiots over here who destroyed this country and throwing us right into his lap.
You're absolutely right. And with that, we got to go. Thanks, Jim.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. And when we come back, again, your phone calls are welcome. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Tonight, I'm gonna make my true confession. Got my coverage up, there's nothing that can keep it down now.
Really, now if I want to go jumping in on the whole thing about that war on Christmas, but Representative,
you know what? I want to jump into it. I'm going to tell you why I want to jump into it.
Okay, go, Bruce.
There's the biggest load of horse crap I've ever seen in my life, and the reason why it's the biggest load of horse crap is because you know what? I mean, you know. If there was a war on Christmas, we would hear about it year-round. I mean, this is just crazy.
Hey, everybody, this is John Fox from 4th Estate Radio here. Speaking of Christmas, join us Christmas Eve, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for our special festive 4thEstateRadio.com Christmas edition. We'll wrap up the week's events as usual and have a bit of extra fun. Find out all the details at 4thEstateRadio.com. That's 4thEstateRadio.com.
Happy Christmas, Kwanzaa, Yule, Nukka, I think. Whatever. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Glad to have you on board.
Happy holidays.
Right. To everybody but Bill O'Reilly and John Gibson. Hey, we've got a couple of minutes here. Let's go into the war on Christmas. Now, I don't know. I can't imagine that you do. Watch Fox, at least not without an almost mind-numbing amount of anti-emetics, enough Phenergan to, you know, put you to sleep for, you know, 2-3 days. But there was a dust-up, there was an outright Donnybrook on John Gibson's program. You know who John Gibson is? He's the creep who wrote this War on Christmas book, this great big honking just load of garbage, you know, claiming, you know, this is where that business about they wouldn't let the children in Saginaw, Michigan and Plano, Texas, they wouldn't let them wear red and green to school, and you know, just a lie. You know, that's what Republicans do, they lie. Well, I've got a rather extended, well, not too extended, but a little sound clip for you from last night's John Gibson program, because you're going to enjoy this. There's a gentleman by the name of Rob Boston. He is with Americans United for Separation of Church and State. And he, God only knows why, agreed to go on Gibson's nasty little show on Fox. And he proceeded to just tear off John Gibson's head and do nasty things with it. Everything that John Gibson put forward, he was there to refute and tear apart and just show it for the, you know, outright lies that they were, you know, including the business about the Plano, Texas, and, you know, those children can't wear red and green and they can't have cookies in the shapes of angels because the school board, the liberal secular school board in Texas, like there's anything liberal in Texas, oh my God, won't let children love Jesus, if you can imagine. So, I want you to hear what passes for discourse on the right, okay? I don't have a ban on wing nuts. Wing nuts are free to call this program, and I will be nice to them. I am the soul of solicitude. I will, until the little freeper wingnut weirdo, well, you're just a poopy head liberal, you know, then all bets are off and the gates of hell yawn open and the bats fly out and I lose my mind. But until that point, you know, I'm a nice guy. No such luck on the right. You can't have a discussion with one of these wingnut freaks. Oh, and just as an aside, the whole fam-damily went to see King Kong last week and enjoyed it immensely. But before anything could ever happen, you know, all the little trailers have gone through, and the introductory panel comes up showing, you know, who the production company was. And my lovely, darling wife just started, you know, people must have thought she was completely out, you know, out of her tree, because she's laughing at the name of the production company. But it's okay, because it comes up on the film, and I don't know, has anybody told Peter Jackson what it means? It says, you know, a Wingnut Films production. And, you know, she just involuntarily guffawed. But anyway, listen to what passes for conversation among wingnuts.
If you're calling me a liar on that,
you're
going to get sued.
Change your story.
I'm going to sue you. Change my story. I never said clothing. You are wrong, and now you're a liar.
And as for the Alliance Defense Fund, I have an email from them. They sent out in August trying to raise money on the war.
Rob, you're done.
August. You got to be ashamed of yourselves. Have you left?
All right, we're done.
See, when you start winning on Fox, they cut your microphone off. That's the way these people are. You're done. You're done. I'm going to sue you. Wait a minute. I thought these were the tort reform people. Well, you know, just like everything else, it's they only want tort reform until it's their ox getting gored. Bless his heart, this Rob. I was reading in reports after this thing ran. Gibson's producer called Rob Boston and told him that Gibson had called and said he was all upset and told Rob Boston never to come in a bar where I'm drinking. Holy hell. These people are completely around the bend. And no, they're not my fellow Americans. I'm taking that Samuel Adams stance, and I'm not talking about the beer, where he said, well, the quote is up there at the header of WhiteRoseSociety.org. Go there, look at it. But it has to do with, I will not call you my countrymen. Wingnuts are not my fellow Americans. I want to, and we liberals, we progressives, we Democrats, we decent people, we intelligent people, we want to build a future in America instead of cowering in fear and looking backwards. But that is discourse. I'm going to sue you. Oh, I'm so glad I'm liberal. I'm so glad, because if you're not, you have to be afraid of so many things. Jesus. Let's take a break. I'm going to sue. I'll sue. By God, I'll sue. And of course, your phone calls are welcome after the break.
Berry as white as the milk, and Mary she bore Jesus all wrapped up in silk, and Mary she bore Jesus our Savior for to be, and the first tree that's in the green wood, it was the holly.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back, thanking me for my concerns, and more coupons.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. Hey, does anyone remember New Orleans? It wasn't that long ago when Hurricane Katrina devastated the Big Easy and much of the Gulf Coast, and President Bush vowed to rebuild it. As usual, though, what he said wasn't exactly what he meant. What he really meant was that the city would be rebuilt, but only for rich white people. It's the kind of redistricting that, as one Republican congressman proclaimed, only God could have allowed. According to an editorial in the New York Times, the Small Business Administration, which is responsible for allocating funds to the devastated region, has processed only 92,000 of the 276,000 home loan applications it has received. And of that 92,000, less than 17,000 have been approved. For those of you keeping score, that's about 18%. The other 82% were turned down because their credit rating was shot or they didn't earn enough money. Most working people live paycheck to paycheck, and sometimes even a small expense can be devastating. In this case, these are people who lost their homes, or worse, everything they had due to a combination of incompetence or apathy from the federal government. To be sure, there's plenty of money to fix the levees, clean up New Orleans properly, and get people back in their homes. The Republicans have given away far more in tax cuts for the very rich than the cost for saving New Orleans. I suppose they assume that the money will somehow trickle down to those who lost their homes. But as people who live on the bottom know, there's only one thing that rolls downhill. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Find the Christmas spirit yet. And of course, the fun part is just around the corner, because I'm one of those guerrilla commando Christmas shoppers. If it's not Christmas Eve, it's not fun. I'll never forget being in Walmart a few years ago. We'd gone out for a holiday movie. I think it was Harry Potter, wasn't it, dear? And one of our daughters, and I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but, you know, these things happen to kids. She got a split in the seat of her pants. And I had to go into Walmart, and we were in a hurry to make the movie. I just wanted a quick pair of sweats or something, you know, little kid. And I'm sitting there, you know, trying to be a little cheap, and yeah, I know, I went into Walmart. Stop. It was the only thing that was there. It was the movie theater, and there was Walmart, and sometimes, you know, because you don't want to humiliate the kid. And And so I'm in there, and I've got a pair of like stretch pants or something for my daughter in my hand, and this woman comes buzzing by me like she's on a broom straight out of Harry Potter, and it snatches them out of my hands. That's what you get.
He never believed the stories that I told him about shopping. Ladies, you all know it's true. We are literally wildcats.
Well, in Walmart, I mean, it's like Lord of the Flies or something.
You expect it in Walmart.
It's Animal Farm. But I remember that experience. Wow, where was I going with this? So, the Guerrilla Commando Christmas shopping, that season is upon us now. Never did understand all the organized people who were, you know, it's the middle of August. Well, I've got my Christmas shopping done. congratulations. Speaking of Walmart, guess what? They got hammered today. Goody. It's always nice when you see Walmart getting a little justice thrust upon them. This coming out of California from the Associated Press, the Dateline to Oakland. A California jury on Thursday awarded $172 million to thousands of employees as Walmart Stores, Inc., at Walmart Stores, Inc., who claimed they were illegally denied lunch breaks. How about that? 172 lunch breaks? Holy smoke. Walmart can't afford lunch breaks. It's back to what Wayne said. When they won't let you stop to eat, that's slavery. Oh, but they were paying him, Bob. Oh, you know, I know there are some of those self-same wing nuts who do wander by from time to time. What's wrong with Walmart? They're the biggest employer in the United States. Yeah, they're one of the biggest employers in China, too. Does that make it good? The damages were parsed out. $57 million in general damages and $115 million in punitive damages to about 116,000 current and former employees. That tells you something about the proof. $115 million in punitive damages. You know, punitive damages, that means those are damages that are assessed to punish the company for its rotten behavior. Lunch breaks? Lunch? You can't have lunch. You work at Walmart. You can't have lunch. What in heavenly... You know, I remember during the Clinton years, all the constant sickening screaming by the flimballs of the world. You know, my friends, what will we tell the children? Never mind what we're going to tell the children. What kind of world are we handing them? You got to go to court. These people had to fight in court for 4.5 years to get justice. And this is just the trial court verdict. Because, Sunshine... Walmart will appeal it all the way to the Supreme Court if there's any way humanly possible for them to do so. Because they know, Walmart does, that they can wait longer than the working people can. There is drastic change that needs to come in this country. Drastic change. When people are not free to strike, when their work is being taken away from them, when the time that they put into their work, their lives, the most finite, precious thing that any of us have on planet Earth, the time involved, time that's not coming back. And when someone is compelled to do something with that time, then you know that we have rounded a corner in this country, That is certainly not a place that we want to take our children. We're told we're safer from terrorist attacks, and yet at the same time, domestic terrorism is being practiced on working people in New York City? And that was domestic terrorism. When you threaten to jail a man at Christmas time for having the unmitigated gall to stand on his hind legs and demand that he be treated as a human and an individual and every bit as good as some godforsaken billionaire. And his little kid asks at night, "Daddy, are you going to jail tomorrow? Mommy, are we going to have Christmas if Daddy goes to jail because of his bosses?" That is nothing short of domestic terrorism on that family. It does not require robes. It does not require beards. It does not require funny-sounding names or unintelligible accents. Oh, no, no, no. All it requires is the simple desire to compel someone else's behavior through the use of fear and coercion to achieve a political end. That's a pretty rock-solid definition of terrorism. But there are terrorists and there are terrorists. And the billionaire terrorists who wear bespoke Savile Row suits and ride to work in limousines in the high tower places of New York City. Well, they're the terrorists that we're willing to tolerate. We will shoot dark-skinned people in the back on the tarmacs of airports and kill them for no other reason than the fact that they were afraid. And we will say, "Hooray, terror has been stopped." But if a billionaire threatens a middle-class family and their very existence, well, that's, you know, tell Michael I always respected him and always liked him. It was only business. It's only business. Don't worry about it. The business of America is business. Business is good. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Christmas Jam.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more: taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Had to help a hopeful listener negotiate his way to the website for the stream. And if you know anyone who, it's easy to just say, just go to headonradio.com, too, because that on-air button will take you to the page at whiterosesociety.org just as well. So that's viable, too. And, you know, I should make mention of headonradio.com. I don't do that very often. You're welcome to swing on by. It's there for you guys. And, you know, I wander by occasionally. I spend most of my time prepping for the show. But headonradio.com and the message boards there are there for your enjoyment and your pleasure. It's, you know, no charge. It's free. And, you know, I hope you'll make use of them. And the free exchange of ideas, cussing and carrying on and whatnot. It's largely unmoderated. You know, when things get really, really hateful, we step in. But apart from that, you know, it's the marketplace of ideas. So go by headonradio.com and make yourself welcome. If you have any trouble making your membership work, drop me an email and I'll activate it by hand. It's not supposed to be that way, but sometimes it is for reasons that I don't understand because I'm not a computer dude. Let's go talk to Ed. Hey, Ed, you're head on.
Good evening, Bob.
How in the world are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I really called to get the inside story on the strike today. All I know is it was settled. I don't know the condition. And then I tried to get a while ago on there, and Wayne had made a comment or something on what happened, and that's all I could. All I've been able to put together.
Well, these people were compelled back to work.
Yeah, I know they had $1 million fine a day on them.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they can't afford that. They're just working people.
Yeah. Well, was that individuals or the...
Well, that was levied against the union. There was some talk of sending the president of the union to prison on a contempt citation.
Huh.
It was just disgusting.
It's the same old shoot 'em up rodeo, though. But Bob, you know, at some point we're going to have to go through that procedure that the mine workers and way back then went through, and sacrifice whatever it takes to make them understand we're just not going to take that crap.
Well, one of the problems, Ed, is there is a scarcity of people who understand that, even within the labor movement. I don't mean to be critical. But there are a lot of people that have been made very, very comfortable within the labor movement who want the benefits of it but are not willing to make the sacrifices required.
Oh, well, that's...
I mean, you probably know that better than I do, right?
That's the case with the internationals. They've got their helicopters. They got their big speed boats. They own $300,000 or $400,000 homes. And if a strike goes on, a general strike would go on very long, at that point... they would start losing. They couldn't make their payments, in other words, because they make their living off the working man wages, too.
Well, exactly.
So.
But even you know, even the rank and file guys, it's hard to get some of them motivated.
Oh, they get comfortable. They get real sleepy and lazy from having that 44 waistline and getting fat off of those union wages to the point to where, like we discussed last night, they pit one worker against another. They don't have to do it. They used to know how to do all the damage themselves, but they let the worker do it to each other now.
Well, that's cheaper, isn't it?
Yeah. But I just wondered how it turned out. And I still haven't got a picture in my mind of what happened. I guess I can watch the late news when I get home because I'm babysitting right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I just wondered if it was that they had to go back under a bribe or whether they agreed to negotiate. I did hear a bunch of rhetoric, people on television running their mouth about the same way as Bloomberg was doing, you know, running the worker down and
right.
What a bunch of scumbags they were and everything. So I just I wondered really what the conditions were. Did they meet them at the line and are they going to discuss it?
They're going back to negotiate. But you know the only thing the workers had has been taken away from them, and that is their right to withhold their labor.
Yeah. Well, another part that I heard was. The law is first. I wish they'd pass that on to Washington.
Well, I wish the law would be first with with the silk suit crowd too.
That's what I'm talking about. Let's obey if we're going to put the law to the workers. But that's the way it always is. And I heard you mention something about how we got stuff done. And I'm telling you, I remember a time when the labor board. And when the labor board, always under a new administration, they appoint another head guy. And, of course, you know what kind of guy that Bush would appoint.
Yeah, somebody.
They interpret that law just like Bush is doing the Constitution. So whoever's in there, if you got a liberal, then you get a pretty close interpretation of it. But when you got people like, I forget, Van Heusen or something was his name, when you got guys like that, they won't even listen to your case unless they consult with your international first. I had a case, and it was under Republicans, and I didn't get off the ground with it, and it was clear cut, especially when we lost our job, and I won the case, and the company said they was going to close down the plant, and they just kept right on going with the two or three people that was there. They had to pay me off, but... they still didn't obey what the law said when I filed another charge on them. Apparently, my own international double-crossed me. I'm telling you, they are tied. And I picked out the arbitrator out of about 15 people in Charleston by my representative. So I know that they talked the night before. I said, that right there is an arbitrator. And he said, how do you know that? Or how do you know that? I said, I can tell. I said, the guy keeps looking at me like that I'm Jesse James or something. But I won that particular arbitration case, won $25,000. But before they would put me back to work as one of the three, the plant is finally closed all the way now. And they've got some kind of plant in Virginia. But most of the plant is closed entirely. But let me tell you something. That table is packed with company, with National Labor Relations Board people, and
sure.
The internationals. And you happen to be one that can sit in the background and listen to your case being tried until the arbitrator asks you something.
Uh-huh.
And I got a little bit tanked out at one of the attorneys for the company who was going to clean his plow. And he said, let me tell you something, buddy. We don't have to try this case at all if you're going to fisticuff. And all I could do was let my face tingle because I knew that they would just throw that out
Right.
And I would lose everything. It was.
But. And see, that's that's an ancient trick by the union busters and the labor haters. That's an ancient trick, Ed, is to try to get somebody to lose their cool, because once they do that, they've won.
Yeah. Well, I almost did, but these guys, they're union busting lawyers. They took on a group of caddies. I'm talking about professional caddies now. They're in big money in Wisconsin and broke their union. But the company I worked for finally wound up suing them after I won, most of what I was after.
Mm-hmm.
And the plant closed, and they sued them for a malpractice and won. The company they beat them. So it was a real good feeling to know that we could start a dog fight among them instead of all time us.
Right, and do a little bit of them a little bit of do unto others as they've been doing unto you, huh?
Yeah, finally caught up with them. But I guess to get a total picture of you can't even depend on CNN anymore.
No, it's shameful. I was reflecting on that just last night. You know, I worked there for a while, Ed, back in the late 80s, and they weren't, they've lost their nerve, they've lost their spine. Fox News came along and said, oh, well, all of America is conservative and, you know, thinks that Republicans are next to God. And the next thing you know, CNN loses its nerve, loses its edge. You know, Ted Turner founded that network. And he didn't found it on conservative principles. It went downhill essentially when Ted Turner lost control of it.
Yeah. Well, Switzer, I think he is about a 60-40 in favor of companies and the big boys. But he has a guy on there that comes on and just wearing a white shirt and open it to neck. I mean, you can tell he's hangs real loose.
Yeah.
And he really gives him some scorn. And I think he's a little lopsided for us, if that's possible. I don't think we can ever catch up. But he gives the slant always when he reads the...
Yeah, I think maybe you're talking about Jack Cafferty.
That's who it is.
All right. Yep.
I like him pretty good.
He's been getting a lot better.
Yeah.
And you can tell he's getting better because they keep marginalizing him. You know, if you say anything liberal, you have an ugly habit of disappearing at CNN these days.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Ed, we've got to hit the break. Always good to hear from you, though.
All right, Bob. Thank you.
You take care and enjoy that babysitting time.
Oh yeah, I'm waiting to go home.
All right, we'll see you now.
Bye.
Bye. And a quick break, and then more of your phone calls when we return. This is Head On, and I'm Holiday Bob Kincaid.
Here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
It tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride. Games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write
Scruff, Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8th, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating. just very devastating, and the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could make new friends from different countries.
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
That makes me confident.
Sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
Merry Christmas, Bozo! Merry Christmas, boys and girls!
Merry Christmas, Santa! And welcome to Bozo's Big Top Christmas Sing-Along! Well, now that you're here and all my buddies too, let's all sing Jingle Bells just for you!
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way!
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
Right here, yeah. Coming up on 3 minutes past the hour, I'm Bob. And let's go straight to the phones without delay. Fritz has been waiting and calling from New Mexico. Hey, Fritz, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, all of that.
Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to you all.
Thank you.
And to Agnes and your children.
I very much appreciate that.
Oh, my pleasure. As a Yankee who grew up in New York City, I figured maybe I'd counterbalance the conversation here a little bit.
Please do.
And offer my perspective.
I appreciate that.
You know, I used to ride the subways a lot when I was a kid. I rode them to high school.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, I think people should not discount the incredible skill it takes to drive one of those suckers. I mean, it really, you know, you can probably imagine how immensely difficult it is to negotiate a bus through the streets of Manhattan.
I wouldn't even think about, you know, yeah, Ralph Cramden was not appreciated as much
Ralph
as he should
Cramden,
have been.
He drove in Brooklyn, though, which is where I grew up. But, you know, it also takes tremendous skill, even though you got that track and no traffic, to drive those subway trains. You know, my friend and I used to get a thrill out of sitting up in front, you know, right near the motorman's compartment and watching the guy do his thing through the crack in the door. And it's amazing what those guys do, and they deserve every penny they make.
They absolutely do.
And, you know, you think about how much it costs to live in New York. I thought about going back several times, but there's no way I could possibly afford it. You know, and the issue of the new generation, you know, coming in, you've got to pay somebody a reasonable wage for them to be able to afford to stay in the city.
Sure.
How are they going to do that?
Well, I don't know. And the fact of the matter is, it's my understanding that that's what a lot of this strike was about, was what will be done for and about the next generation of coming transit workers.
Yeah, which is the salient issue. It really is. Because when you think about the cost of living in New York, it's like, how are you going to do it unless you pay these guys a livable wage? You know, and who's going to drive the trains if you don't get these guys to live in the city? It's impossible. I mean, it's so logical that, you know, that you want to deal with these guys in an even-handed and fair fashion, and you don't have anybody doing that. Bloomberg, certainly not.
No.
Which, you know, brings me to insert Hillary and what a disappointment she is.
Well, how can you not be? And I get in discussions with other Democrats about Hillary, and I know there are people out there that just really, really want her to be the nominee.
Oh, God forbid, Bob.
In 08.
Sorry.
Well, no, I do the same thing, and I can't understand that Hillary mindset.
I don't either.
You know, one term, didn't we learn with John Edwards, one term in the Senate does not a presidential candidate make?
Yeah, and you know, she hasn't demonstrated anything to me. Give me Dennis, give me Henry Waxman, the Black Caucus, you know, the Conyers Group.
Yeah.
And maybe Russ Feingold. Those are Democrats in my book.
Well, Russ was sounding pretty presidential, responding to Dear Leader earlier in the week.
Yes, he was.
But, you know, I want to see somebody that A, will stand up to these people and doesn't feel this corrupting, just soul-sapping thing that apparently happens in once you get to Washington. I was so energized by, for instance, Barack Obama's speech at the convention, you know, in the summer of 2004.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, it the bug seems to have bitten him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. He just fell back into almost being a collaborator in some sense.
Yeah, it's this awful notion of centrism, because at this point in time, Fritz, whatever passes for the political center has allegedly moved so far to the right that, you know, the left, you know, the left used to be, you know, your hardcore commies, you know, workers'
right.
Paradise.
Now the left is a little bit left to center, basically.
Yeah, and now
what we used to consider center, basically.
Yeah, and now I'm a crazy commie leftist for wanting people to go to the doctor when they need to.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I need to see some cojones from anybody, you know, who thinks that they're going to put themselves up as a presidential possibility. And I ain't seen it except for those few people I mentioned from the House.
Yeah.
You know, the Black Caucus has always shown cojones, and so has Dennis and maybe Waxman and a few other people, but that's it.
Well,
you know, I'm not seeing much else. And Hillary, forget about it. I'm sorry. I don't know what I'd do if they put her up. I just don't know what I'd do. I might have to vote green. I'm sorry.
Well,
it's a terrible thing to say. But
I know. You know, it's. I feel like the people I used to criticize about Nader. But,
yeah.
You know, the fact of the matter is, I've played, you know, I've played ball. Kerry's my candidate. Kerry's a good guy. And what did I get for it? I got a guy who quit.
Disappointed, Bob.
Yeah, I got ripped off, Fritz.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got a guy who quit the Ohio race before the votes were even counted.
So disappointing.
You know, and now we're finding out, you know, I follow Brad Blog a good bit. St. Louis threw Diebold out today. Diebold withdrew from North Carolina today.
Cool. Glad to hear it.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear it, too. But it tells me a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
They've served their purpose.
This whole thing with Dear Leader, this is Nixonian. This is dirty tricks. You know that he was spying on Kerry and Edwards.
Well, you know,
I
heard a snippet of Kerry talking to Ed Schultz yesterday.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ed is not my idea of, again, one of those wild-eyed liberals.
Not for sure.
But he at least asked John Kerry, he said, knowing what we know now, don't you wonder if they were listening to every conversation you had? And it blew my mind. You know, this from the guy who was windsurfing during, you know, it blew my mind. John Kerry actually said, yeah, I'm really concerned about it.
He did. Well, good for him, but it's a little late, isn't it?
Well, the horses are gone, the barn door's closed, and the barn's burning, but yeah.
Yeah.
And, well, he's come out with a lot of, you know, he's running again. And, you know, him too, not just Hillary. You know, I'm done.
Oh, yeah, I'm done with all of that crap. I'm sorry. I don't know what I'm going to do. I really don't. But I hope, you know, I hope there's a shift. We'll see. I wanted to ask you, did you get my email about Leishmania?
Yes, I did.
You did.
And that was
nasty
absolutely...
disease, Bob.
Oh, it is. And
this is a tuberculosis-like pathology, you know?
Yeah.
And so these poor SOBs need to rest and get stress out of their lives, and they're coming home with PTSD. How the hell are they going to cure themselves?
Well, they're not.
It's horrible.
And look, I mean, Fritz, I hate to even be this cynical about the nation that I was raised to, you know, be proud of and love and everything. But you know that somewhere in the Pentagon there is a bean counter that says, screw them. If they die, it's cheaper.
Oh, you know they're saying that. Absolutely.
Because
we don't want to pay for those.
Yeah, these are the kings of cost-benefit analysis.
That's exactly what they are. What a horrible way to treat our veterans. That is probably the most despicable thing about these people. The way they treat these poor kids.
It's a calculus. Honest to God, it's a calculus of hate.
Yeah. Yeah. Cost-benefit analysis with a calculus of hate. Very well said, my friend.
Well, thank you very much, Fritz. You ready for whatever we're going to call this coming Sunday? You ready for Christmas?
Yeah, absolutely. You? Well, I know you're going out there on Christmas Eve to hit the stores, huh?
Yeah.
God bless you, Bob. Not me. I'm not doing it.
I got to have a little excitement in my life.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Well, you take care, Fritz. Always
you
so
too.
Good to
Merry
hear
Christmas
from you.
Christmas to all.
And to
and
you,
to
too.
All a good night.
Absolutely. God
Bye-bye.
Bless us, everyone. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You know, I'm not playing. If Hillary is the nominee in 08, I'm with Fritz. I don't know what in God's name I'm going to do. Stand in the voting booth and scream? You're going to give me a choice between the Republican National Committee and the Democratic Leadership Council? That's a Hobson's choice. That's you can have the horse by the door or no horse at all. You know, sure, tell me, I read a list of some of the stuff that she's done in New York, and she's initiated some meaningful legislation, but I have to balance that kind of, that stuff with this crap about getting behind a flag-burning amendment? Or if not an amendment, a statute about flag-burning? When we've got a president of the United States who can't even be bothered to acknowledge the existence of the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution? My God in heaven, and worrying about this video game censorship bills, because you know what? That's pandering. That's pandering, pure and simple. That's not legislation that's going to change anything in America. That is a straight up pander to people like L. Brent Bozell III and his weirdo the parents TV watching vigilantes. The people that file 99.2 or 99.7% of the of everything, every complaint that is filed with the FCC, over 99% of them are filed by these right wing weirdos, because there's a little thing at their website where you can fill out an automated form that supposedly sends your complaint straight to the FCC. Only thing is, you know, like everything else Republican, that's a damn lie, too. Because once upon a time, I remember going down the road with my kids in the car. And yeah, I listened to talk radio. And yeah, between the hours of noon and 3, the only thing on around here is Flush. And before I could turn away from it, he had done this joke where he said, hey, you know what you call a feminazi who gets a... Wait a minute, wrong voice. My friends, do you know what you call a feminazi who has a sex change? Do you know what that procedure is called, my friends? It's an adidectomy. And he told the punchline of that joke 6-7 times. And at this point, again, it was the car wreck and I was slowing down. I can't believe I'm hearing this. Between noon and 3, during the week, in the summertime, when parents have their kids out of school. So, you know, I put it to the test. I came home and I went to that Brent Bozell the nonsense thing, and I filled out all their little fields, and I typed in and I told, you know, what time did it happen? What day did it happen? What station were you listening to? What did he say? And I clicked submit, and that complaint disappeared into the ether. Because I checked later with the FCC. Did my complaint get filed? No, it didn't. No, it didn't. Why didn't it? Because the right-wing freaks, you know, they filter that stuff through their website. And I knew they did. That's why I did this. But I can't play ball with these people. And I don't want to elect a president who thinks that there is any possibility of entering into dialogue with these people. You can't dialogue with the kind of people like, you know, the Dan Burton from Indiana. And if Hillary runs, he is waiting for her. And he's got an entire truckload of watermelons that he's going to carry out into his backyard again and shoot to prove that Hillary killed Vince Foster. You thought the Swift boats were fun? You thought the Swift boat Veterans for Truth were fun? Wait till you see the Swift boating they got waiting for Hillary. And I'm not saying she shouldn't be president because of that. I'm more disgusted with her policy positions right now. Yeah, she did the right. I think she did the right thing on the Anwar business yesterday. She voted the right way on the budget reconciliation. Absolutely, good on her. But I, you know, we're going to be in need of some severe fixing by that time. And if we don't have a dedicated, straight up liberal who's going to come in with some compassion and some common sense, we're done. We are done. I'm sorry. It's how it is. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You can count on me. Please have snow.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha!
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Tonight, I'm gonna make my true confession. Got my coverage up, there's nothing that can keep it down now. My work is
if I want to go jumping in on the whole thing about that war on Christmas. But Representative,
it's just, it, you know what? I want to jump into it. I'm going to tell you why I want to jump into it.
Okay, go, Bruce.
That's the biggest load of horse crap I've ever seen in my life, and the reason why. And the reason why it's the biggest load of horse crap is because, you know what? I mean, you know, if there was a war on Christmas, we would hear about it year-round. I mean, this is just crazy.
Hey, everybody, this is John Fox from 4th Estate Radio here. Speaking of Christmas, join us Christmas Eve, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for our special festive 4thEstateRadio.com Christmas edition. We'll wrap up the week's events as usual and have a bit of extra fun. Find out all the details at 4thEstateRadio.com. That's 4thEstateRadio.com.
Listen to Nat King Cole all day. Died the year I was born. Wow, what a set of pipes. Minutes past the hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And, okay, the phone number. Got to remember to do the phone number. 877-443-2366, and the email bob@headonradio.com. And headonradio.com, the message board's there. They're free for you. Jump in. Have a free-for-all. And a couple of shout-outs. Our new buddy Bernie in Oregon and our old friend David in South Carolina. Very, very happy holidays. Merry Christmases to you both. And I'm sorry... Sorry, you couldn't wait on hold there, Bernie. We'll try again sometime. Bernie had mentioned something to me, and I should just kind of jump out there with this real quick. And toward the end of the program last night, I talked about a pardon that Dear Leader had issued for a woman. What was her name? Kathy St. Charles. You know, it was one of those cheesy DJ names. Hi, Kathy St. Charles in the afternoon. Somebody St. Charles. She was a coke dealer. Now she is a highfalutin silk stocking lawyer with a law firm in Denver, Colorado that does highfalutin money work. Because, you know, so much of the law is money, you know, it's the two, it's M&M law, money and moron management. About 99, you know, 99% of the criminal justice system is moron management. And I don't mean to be mean about that. There are people charged who are not guilty. And then there are people who are charged and convicted because they have been profoundly unintelligent. And then there are people who are charged and convicted because they have been incredibly greedy. And, you know, I put coke dealing under greed. I'm no lightweight or no shrinking violet about the war on drugs. I think it's one of the dumbest things this country's ever done. It's the worst thing that ever happened to the Fourth Amendment. But, you know, like cheating on your spouse, when you start to deal drugs, the first rule in the first variable in the equation is the absolute fact that you are going to get caught. So this woman got a presidential pardon. Her crime is as it never happened. She got a presidential pardon from Dear Leader. And, you know, works in Denver, like I said. Yeah, think about it. Who lived in Denver? Who ran in those same Tony circles? That's right. Neil Bush. Silverado Bush. Sure. So in the midst of all that, I think about a person that Bernie from Oregon mentioned to me, Veronza Bowers Jr. He's got his own website, veronzabowers.com.org. I'm not sure which kind of dot it is. But this guy has been in prison in the federal system for 31 years. He has served his sentence. He has served his sentence. And they still won't let him out. Can you imagine that? He's paid his debt to society, and they will not release him. They had him all the way to the point where his family, had, at great expense, had set up a place for him to live. His family had traveled to Florida for his release date, and on the day that he was to be released, they brought him into a room, sat him down with his family, and said, "You got 15 minutes. After that, son, it's back in the stir." Go read about it. It's heart-rending. So while George Bush is out there pardoning coke dealers, who knows? This woman was busted in the 80s. This may have been George's very own dealer for all we know. Because you know George liked his blow. Little Bolivian marching powder, little Peruvian flake. What'd Robin Williams say? You take our land, we give you monkey for your back. Or the late, great Bill Hicks. Cocaine is God's way of telling you you make too much money. I find it incredibly ironic to know that George Bush is out there pardoning coke dealers while people like Veronza Bowers, who've done their time, can't get out. Doesn't want a pardon. He just wants... He wants the other half of the deal. I served my time. You let me go. You know, no. So I appreciate it, Bernie. I appreciate you alerting me to that individual. And, you know, the Bush family, oddly enough, has a habit of pardoning these kind of people. I think it was Daddy Bush who pardoned a Pakistani heroin dealer. And his name was Aslam. And he had been convicted of horrific drug crimes. And George H.W. Bush made it all go away, and he went back to Pakistan. Wonder why, wonder where, wonder how, wonder who, wonder how much. See, all those little journalism questions. Wouldn't it be nice if there was somebody out there actually answering them? Tell you what, it's time for our bottom of the hour break, then we'll take it home in the last half. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa...
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you're drinking.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Thank you.
Like I said, downhill to 10 o'clock. And a reminder, don't know about anybody else out in the liberal talk world, I'm going to be here tomorrow night. I'll be home for Christmas. Man, I am home for Christmas. Lucky me, I don't have to hit the road. Dad's here. The kids are here. Agnes is here. Everything in the world that means most to me is right here. So I have the good fortune of being able to share time with you when you choose to share it with me tomorrow night. Be here Monday, too. So will Agnes. Yes, dear. Something I really didn't touch on last night that I should have, to the great extent that it deserved. The budget reconciliation bill that passed the Senate 51-50, including the hateful vote of big-time Dick Cheney, who came slouching and Darth Vadering into the, I vote, yay. That thing was a monster. And a story out of the Christian Science Monitor, you know, and they're reliable, it's generally reliable journalism. But I hate language like this. They refer to the fact that the budget cuts trimmed or shaved an amount of money from, you know, say, Medicaid. That wasn't a shave. That was a slash. That was a hack. That was a chop. Let's not be so polite. But, yeah, just in case you were wondering, it's the first outright cut in Medicare since 1997. It includes $6.4 billion shaved from Medicare and $4.7 billion shaved from Medicaid. And part and parcel of it, one of the more hateful aspects of it, this bill allows hospitals in America now. See if you can wrap your mind around this. This bill allows hospitals in America now to turn away poor people on their choice. There's your pro-choice. That's the kind of pro-choice Republicans like. But wait, it's a Ronco commercial. It's KTEL. But wait, there's more. When the hospital turns these people away, people having heart attacks, people having breathing troubles, people giving birth, well, women giving birth. That's not to say women aren't people. That's to say it's a segment of people. There won't be any men giving birth. You understand what I mean. All these people, when they're turned away and then something god-awful happens to them and they show up at their local lawyer's office and they say, you know, it's bad enough this happened. Can we at least punish them for doing this to me? Or to my family, my loved one, my father, my brother, my sister, my aunt, my wife? By 51-50, thanks, Dick, this law also allows the hospitals to be immune from such a lawsuit. You got that? The hospital can slam its door in your suffering, bleeding face. The hospital can say, you'll have to take that sucking chest wound elsewhere. And then, by virtue of their hate and their filthy greed and their utter soullessness, you can't even sue them. Let's see, who can't you sue? Well, here's one. Let's say you show up at the hospital and they turn you away. How about Dr. Totata Shantavirappa? Dr. Totata Shantavirappa. He's 70. He's facing 87 criminal counts for distributing unapproved and misbranded drugs. Well, that seems kind of stiff, doesn't it? Wait a minute. What were the drugs? Well, they were. He and his assistant Dan Bartoli were injecting patients with something called dinitrophenol. Dinitrophenol is a commercial-grade weed killer and insecticide. He's being charged criminally. Guess what? Under the bill that was passed yesterday with the one extra vote of Dick Cheney, you couldn't sue him. Got that? And I understand. I'm talking to liberals and progressives, and that's got to just get all over you. So out of the budget bill, we're giving hospitals a pass on, well, you know, doing what everybody else did in the parable of the Good Samaritan. All those upstanding, righteous people passed by the guy suffering on the side of the road, and it was only the lowliest and most hated that stopped to help. Well, 2,000 years, and, you know, we're having another party for Jesus' birthday, and, you know, we gotta have fits on Fox News because people aren't saying Merry Christmas in the stores enough to suit them. And 2,000 years later, we're going backwards. We're going backwards. Because that sucking chest wound will have to be treated by somebody outside the hospital. That baby will be delivered by maybe a cabbie or daddy or anybody but a hospital. You see what's going on here? This is the level. This is not, no, it's not level. This is the depth of the Republican Party. This is the depth of the so-called conservatives' disdain for their fellow Americans. You know, I got a couple of comments. Bob, you know, it bothers me when you say that you don't consider Republicans your fellow Americans. Hell's bells, they don't consider me their fellow Americans. These are the people who throw the word treason around when they talk about liberals and progressives, and we all understand that when we're talking treason, we're talking execution, we're talking capital punishment, we're talking the only straight-up, straight-out death penalty mentioned in the Constitution of the United States. We understand that, don't we? Sure we do. Now, so we know what's gone from the Medicare budget. We know what's gone from the Medicaid budget. We know what's gone from the student loan budget. We know all of that stuff that's gone. The tax cuts aren't gone. The giveaways for the one percenter club aren't gone. And here's something else that's not gone. This just crossed the wire yesterday from the Christian Communication Network. You ready for this? I mean, now, how many billion? How many billion? Let's see. How many billion? Come on, Bob. 4.7 billion out of Medicare and 4.7 billion from Medicaid, 6.4 billion shaved from Medicaid. Did I get that right yet? Yeah, 6.4 billion Medicare, 4.7 billion from Medicaid. That's gone. That is gone money. That is money that, you know, the poor screw the poor. On the other hand, however, while they were cutting all of that from Medicare and Medicaid, bless their little pea-picking hearts, they found $100 million. For a provision in the Omnibus Deficit Reduction Act, they found $100 million for marriage strengthening programs. What are these co-ed aerobics gyms, co-ed weightlifting? This is disgusting to me. This is absolutely, and in their little press release from Concerned Women for America. Remember Concerned Women for America, who is run by guys? Concerned Women for America, they said, this bill is a priority for grassroots America. No, it's not, you religiously insane freaks. No, it's not. health care is a grassroots priority in America. No, no, not according to Concerned Women for America. This bill is a priority for grassroots America. And Concerned Women for America Director of Government Relations Lanier Swan said, "We want to thank Senator Rick Santorum for his leadership. His passion for this initiative was one of the key factors for its passage. We encourage the House of Representatives to pass the Senate language of this legislation as soon as possible. $100 million. We got a little upset with Ted Stevens for his $50 million bridge to nowhere. This is $100 million for no thing. Think of the marriage strengthening programs. These are programs encouraging people not to get divorced. You know, I'm sorry, lady. You know, it, look, you know, you work in the cube next to me. You're a great worker. I think the world of you. But it breaks my heart to see you keep coming in here with black eyes telling me you walked into the door. But, you know, Concerned Women for America don't think that that woman should be divorced." Yeah, dear.
Goes right along with Marie Antoinette's suggestion, you know, there of shaving. You know, let them eat cake.
Yeah.
Of course. Marriage strengthening. That way, when your husband kills you, or almost kills you, and you get to the hospital doors, they can tell you, "Well, we're sorry, we can't take care of you."
Because you understand, don't you, dear, when they're talking about marriage strengthening, they're talking about pastoral counseling. And who's going to get the money? The churches. This is one of those stupid faith-based initiatives. We can cut the food stamp program. We can cut Medicare. We can cut Medicaid. But we got $100 million to give to the Southern Baptist Convention so that they can tell Billy Bob and Sheila Sue that they really need to stick together. And, you know, Sheila, honey, why won't you just stay home when you've got those black eyes?
Well, Sheila, honey, I'm not telling you to do this, but Rent Sleeping with the Enemy, great movie. Domestic violence shelters ought to have it on hand.
Dr. Janice Krause, senior fellow of CWA's Beverly LaHaye Institute, you know, you remember the LaHaye, you know, left behind, I'm going to be raptured out of my Jaguar, that kind of thing, added, "The Healthy Marriage Initiative will help all American families. CWA is grateful to everyone, praise Jesus, who pushed for the pro-marriage initiative. If we are to reverse the cultural trends that are harming all of society, it'll be because we have strengthened marriage and built strong families as a bulwark against the forces that would destroy our nation." Janice, you moron. You moron. You want to talk about the forces that are destroying our nation? Hunger is a force that is destroying our nation. Greed is a force that is destroying our nation. What 50% of all marriages wind up in divorce. And what is the number one cause of strife between married people? Money, baby, money. It's the fight over money. It's the why isn't there more money? I want more money. We need more money.
How about we just need food, mommy? Why are you and Daddy fighting? Well, we're not fighting, we're discussing.
Honey, Mommy and Daddy fight because you cry.
You're awful, and you know what? You're getting a beating for that tonight.
Yeah, I know. No, but it would help all American families. Divorce hurts the spouses involved. Children who come from single-parent homes experience more poverty, emotional, and behavioral problems. It ain't the divorce's fault. It's the fact that a bunch of godforsaken, soulless, motherless, godless republicans don't have any regard for a working family. How about nationwide child care for parents so that when they're going off to the third job of the day, they can know their children are safe? How about, I don't know, nationwide health care? Nah, that's communism. Yeah, we can't have that. How about a change in the minimum wage? How about a gentle bump of the minimum wage up to $7 an hour? No, we can't have that because that's creeping socialism, too. And the concerned women of America can't stand no creeping socialism. It is the very mark of the beast itself. Hallelujah, praise Jesus.
Now, do you think our government, since everything is so tight and so constricted, are going to give up their pay raises this year?
Huh? Yeah, you're doing that crazy talk thing again, dear.
No, really. Really.
No, they're not.
Oh, come on. Things are tight.
No, honey, quit it. They're not that tight. It's only tight for poor people. It's only tight for single mothers. It's only tight for little children. It's not tight for the billionaires who go to work in helicopters. It's not tight for Michael Bloomberg who rides to work in a limousine. It's not tight for those people. It's tight for mommy and daddy who work three jobs at $5.15 an hour. That's who it's tight for.
Well, you know, the miners in West Virginia used to have the yellow dog contracts. They didn't work out well. All you have to do is watch Mate One, and then you can remember what happened.
Oh, it's hard to... This just galls me to no end. There's no pro-family in the Concerned Women for America. There's nothing pro-family about it. Grassroots America wants this bill. And, of course, it was an act of desperation by Rick Santorum begging the Republican leadership, Jesus, won't you please give me a check? You know, I need one of those big checks like they give out at the golf tournaments. I need one of those big ones so that I can show it to the people in Pennsylvania because my butt is trailing my Democratic opponent by 16 points right now, and my happy butt is going to be out on the streets come November 2006 if I don't get some money. So, you know, he's got to, you know, this is, oh, God, this made Rick Santorum feel so good. And, of course, everybody has gone to Google. Don't do this in front of your children. Everybody has gone to Google and Googled up the meaning of the word Santorum, right? You know, this is the guy that plays fetus football, Rick Santorum. Marriage is a fundamental element of society. No, honey, it's only a fundamental element of society for the people that you think should be able to get married. It is a fundamental discrimination of society for the people that you don't like. You know, Lanier Swan, 50 years ago, your kind of people said that it was mongrelizing the races if a black person and a white person wanted to be married. And now marriage is under assault by gay people. Those people. The terrifying people that hate America. But $100 million of your money. The transit strike in New York was what kind of a money issue? $20 million? $100 million? The money that we're throwing down this right-wing fundamentalist religion industry rat hole would have solved that problem. Would have solved that problem. Concerned Women for America. What the hell are they concerned about? Oh, and by the way, one last little thing. In the soundbite file a couple of days ago, we had that one from Dear Leader where he's and you see, back in the 90s, we were trailing Saddam bin Laden. We knowed just exactly which phone booth he was using there in Afghanistan. We knew just, but then the story come out in the press, and they printed the phone number of Saddam bin Laden's telephone booth. And he quit using that telephone booth because of a leaker, praise Jesus. He did. And then we couldn't get him. Guess what? What is it Republicans do so well? That's right, they lie. Page A02 of the Washington Post today. President Bush asserted that a government leak in 1998 about Osama bin Laden's use of a satellite phone kept us from being able to get him. Guess what? Damn lie. Bless their little hearts at the Washington Post. They're so sweet and gentle they called it an urban myth. The satellite phone stuff had already been reported in 1996. See, it was the liberal media. No, the source was the Taliban itself. And then it was reported again by another news organization, and the source was Saddam bin Laden himself. And then there's this. This is when the Post wants to be snotty, it can be snotty and better than just about anybody. Causal effects are hard to prove, but other factors could have persuaded bin Laden to turn off his satellite telephone in August 1998. A day earlier, the United States had fired dozens of cruise missiles at his training camps, missing him by hours. You wonder if he had time to take his satellite phone with... Oh, Jesus, I gotta get out of here! Oh, God. concerned women for America. The myth of the myth of Osama's telephone. I just hope I don't get his, you know, next time I sign up for a cell phone, I just hope I don't get his old number. God. Honey, what's that? All right, that's it for tonight. Thanks to everybody who called and emailed and listened and spent time. I sure do appreciate it. We appreciate it. We will be here tomorrow night, same old time. The show tonight, of course, was produced by my lovely, lovely, and talented wife, Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor. The entire setup was engineered by Randy Kerbway. The superhero of liberal talk, archiving. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org, and I mean that sincerely, manages the stream for us and takes care of the archives as well. And he does it on a donation basis. Remember that when you go by to use the archives. The show is brought to you every night by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Remember, they are building the American dream. And always, always, always... RMR, it's all for you.